Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So you see who's going on tour? Now, they haven't admitted, they haven't said that this is their farewell tour, but I'm guessing it probably is. You see who's going on tour?
Well, I know Kiss is, and they pretty much, they're making no bones about the fact that that's their farewell.
Yeah, they've already said it's their farewell tour.
Let's see who else. Paul McCartney is not saying that it's his farewell tour.
Probably going to be his farewell
tour. One would have to think at his age.
Can't wait till he comes to New Orleans.
Who else? I don't know. Tell me.
Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Thank God. I thought they would never leave.
They are touring. And tickets are not cheap. The tour kicks off November 18th in Las Vegas. They're playing the 5,200-seat Park Theater in Las Vegas. That's the same venue where Lady Gaga will soon have a residency. Tickets for that show cost anywhere. The cheapest seat is $72.48, and the most expensive seat is $228.44.
What the hell do they do?
Conversations.
An evening with the Clintons.
Well, you know that the two of them together have made well over $100 million just giving speeches in the last 10 years or so. They make piles of money for giving speeches. Their show at the Opera House in Boston, the cheapest ticket is $120.50, and the most expensive ticket is $745.50. And that doesn't include fees to the promoter of this tour, Live Nation. Live Nation, they're like the biggest promoters going. Didn't they just promote the Taylor Swift tour that was here?
I thought there were laws against criminals profiting from their crimes by book sales or, speaking engagements. Whatever happened to those days?
And then the tour's going to wrap up at the old home of the Los Angeles Lakers, the Forum out there by the airport in Los Angeles.
I thought you were going to say at the home of Vince Foster. That would be ironic.
17,505 seats. I guess Los Angeles, California. They love the Clintons, so probably. Sure. Who would go to that? I mean, she's the reason Donald Trump is president right now. For everybody that hates Donald Trump, if you're so mad at Donald, you don't like Donald Trump. She lost to him, and you're going to pay money to go see her along with her husband? But this is something. They're just going to, it's going to be the two of them together. They're calling it a 13-city joint public speaking tour of the United States and Canada, an evening with the Clintons.
In something akin to a nightmare, I can picture myself sitting there. You know, he's a rapist. He is at least can be glib and witty, and that carried him well for the 8 years in the White House. But she could not be more shrill and annoying and like nails on a chalkboard. That's how I find Hillary Clinton.
At least he might be able to play the saxophone.
Well, I don't know about that. But he'll be charming as he BS's his way through this hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is. Will there be an opening act?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Are they going to be on the same tour bus, or are they going to have separate buses? I'm surprised he'd want to spend this much time with her.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like anything else. When the cameras are rolling, they're just they're as happy as two peas in a pod. And then when no one's looking, they go their separate ways. And I think it's probably been the case that way for a good 25 years, if not more.
Experience a one-of-a-kind conversation with two individuals who have helped shape our world and had a front seat to some of the most important moments in modern history. Now, that's how they're billing this. I mean, I don't think I would go to that if someone offered me free tickets.
I don't think so. It's like watching... It's like you're putting money into the pockets of criminals, and I said that facetiously the first time, but isn't that what you're doing?
Well, I mean, he could be called a serial rapist, a serial sexual assaulter, and she, with the destroying the cell phones and doing all of that.
I don't think there's ever going to be a time where all of that goes away. There's always going to be an axe to grind against her, for good or bad. And by that, I mean, there is still, I think as long as she walks this earth, I think there is going to be an effort, and one day it might turn out successful, to get her incarcerated. Because I think she is that probably guilty of something.
I have no idea how much money they're going to make from this 13 city tour, but according to tax records, which are public, from 2001 to 2015, the two of them raked in more than $153 million in speaking fees alone.
And we passed the savings on to you.
Again, I don't know how close this gets to New Orleans. I don't think it's going to get very close to New Orleans.
Mm.
Pretty much one of the reddest states in the country. So anyways, there you go. Bill and Hillary Clinton launching United States tour. Just when you thought you saw it all.
Mm.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. You know, two nights ago was amazing at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I said yesterday on the show, probably the third biggest night in there, that at least in recent history that I could think of. And as we mentioned yesterday, the biggest night in there was the night that it reopened after Hurricane Katrina and the Saints beat the Atlanta Falcons, and Steve Gleason blocked the punt, and that's immortalized by the statue outside of the building. Now, how would you like to be that punter from the Atlanta Falcons? Probably the only punter in NFL history who has a statue of himself erected outside of a stadium. The problem is, though, his punt is getting blocked. But still, he can at least tell every other punter who ever lived, there's no statue of you outside of any NFL stadium. The second biggest night in that building was the night they beat Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings to go to the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game. And I think two nights ago, Monday night, Drew Brees breaking the record, New Orleans native Peyton Manning's record for most yards ever thrown for by a human being in the NFL. I think Sunday night was the third biggest night in there. And just fantastic. It made everybody feel great. And I still feel real great about that. But now there's something, I don't want to say that dampened it, but something happened after that game that has some Saints fans talking today, and the majority of Saints fans aren't talking positive about it. Some people are, but did you see the picture of Alvin Kamara in the locker room after the game?
I did not. I was wondering which road this was going down.
Not only wearing a Colin Kaepernick San Francisco 49ers jersey, he's wearing a red hat that kind of looks like a Make America Great Again hat, but it says Make Africa Home Again. And there are people that are talking about it today, saying, you know, some people say, that's it, I'm never going to wear my Kamara jersey again. Now, here's a guy that with one photo just angered, pissed off a huge chunk of his fans. They're not going to be Alvin Kamara fans anymore. Here's a guy that outside of Drew Brees is was before this picture was taken, was the second most popular New Orleans Saint. There's no doubt about it. He was a beloved Saint. And now because of what he decided to wear, and I know that there are some fans, and you know, you could say it, some black fans that say, yeah, that's great, way to represent. That's the way to do it. But he just alienated himself from, without a doubt, the majority of New Orleans Saints fans.
How is it different, though, than what we've mentioned on the show many times before? And you and I come down on this a little bit differently. I'm able to go to a movie, to a concert, certainly Roger Waters. If I were to go to a movie with Robert De Niro.
Sure, you don't agree with them politically.
Or if I was to listen to some music, whoever. And I've gotten to a point where I don't care anymore. There is a time where, sure, I would have come down and say, well, I can't listen to them because of the way they lean.
I get
you. But you're more... I don't think you're to the point where I am.
I am. Robert De Niro, I think he's one of my favorite actors, Brewster, but personally, you know, the guy's a dope. The guy's a stooge.
But does that keep you from going to see his movies and in a roundabout way putting money in his pocket?
No, and most of the rock bands that we love, that we listen to here on Bayou 95.7, I don't have the exact numbers. But many of them I would completely disagree with politically.
So are we in lockstep on this? Are we exactly the same?
Yeah, but I can separate the two. Here's the problem with what Kamara did.
Because to me, it's really no different. It is, he's on his own time. He is in the Saints locker room.
On the night Drew Brees made history.
Well, but if in the next game, if Kamara runs in for four touchdowns, isn't that all that matters?
Sure.
In much the same way that if you're entertained by Roger Waters live,
sure,
or Robert De Niro on the big screen.
I'm not disagreeing, Brewster.
Well, and I'm not necessarily talking directly to you, but I mean to the people who are just
not to most Saints fans.
Well, to the people who are getting completely going nuts over this.
Not to most Saints fans.
Is it that important?
Here's the problem. A, it was Drew Brees' night. It was his night to shine. B, if you remember the game, it was almost like Alvin Kamara had the night off. He hardly played, didn't do anything. I mean, he did nothing. Did nothing. Mark Ingram was the star running back. They got him back into the lineup after his four-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. For taking those. Alvin Kamara, here's the problem. Here's the problem. We know how you feel. Because I don't like to say it this bluntly, but because you're black, we know how you feel. Most black people think Colin Kaepernick is getting the screws, and most black people think Colin Kaepernick, just like most black people vote Democrat. Was it 95%? That's how it is on the Colin Kaepernick issue. We know how you feel. If you're black, we know how you feel. There might be a few exceptions to the rule. But we know how you feel. And you're doing this. You're wearing this on Drew Brees' one of his biggest nights. And what the hell does the hat mean? Make Africa home again. What does that even mean? You're a millionaire, Alvin Kamara. Because you live in the United States of America. If you lived in Africa, you would not be a millionaire. You wouldn't even be close.
Let me tell you what the hat means. And I won't read the name of... apparently this was a Saints beat writer who posted this. Is that correct? That's where I'm seeing it. And I don't know if he took it. I don't know who took it.
Somebody took a picture of Alvin Kamara in the locker room, the Saints locker room, after Drew Brees' record-breaking night, and this is what he's wearing.
Well, we don't know who took it, so we'll just leave that alone. But one of the comments in the thread below it will tell you what the hat means.
Photo by Josh Katzenstein,
okay.
NOLA.com.
All right. One of the comments on the thread below the photo will tell you what the hat means. Someone commented, planes leave every day. There are people who use that. It's been a long time since I've heard, since I've been around anybody who would say that. But I'm going to guess that I don't want to put words in Alvin Kamara's mouth, but. Be all of that, it's just that's all just whatever. The question I were to ask him, were he here right now, do you support the retribution against police officers that is espoused by Black Lives Matter? Forget about all of that's all I'd want to know.
All I'm saying,
if you're gonna wear a Kaepernick jersey, how far into it are you? Are you into it with one toe? Are you into it with one foot? Are you into it with both feet? Because Black Lives Matter professes the killing of police officers.
Well, remember, Brewster, what I said yesterday about Taylor Swift? Remember when I said with Taylor Swift, she said it's time in my home state, vote for these Democrats, this one Democrat for senator and this one Democrat for Congress. And I asked you on Monday, you know, I wonder if she talked to people because she's a brand now before being a person, and she is going to alienate and upset a good chunk of her fans, the fans of her brand, by saying that. And by the way, you see how many people registered to vote in Tennessee? They're saying it might be 100,000 because after what Taylor Swift said. All I'm saying here,
I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
All I'm saying here is he angered a lot of Saints fans, Alvin Kamara.
I think if you're going to do this on Drew Brees' night, and you're going to have not one but two pictures now, I see, of showing the hat, I would just be interested to know how far into it he is.
I don't know what the hat means. Make America home again. Or make Africa home again. It looks like a Make America Great
you,
hat.
Well,
Make America Great Again hat.
Right.
I don't know what that, what does that mean?
You apparently have never been around anyone who, we'll call it like locker room talk. You've never heard anybody say, oh, I wish they'd all. That's what that is. I'm guessing that's what that is in reference to.
Well,
because again, on the thread, there is somebody that commented, planes leave every day. They're responding to what he has on the hat.
Well, all I
and
know.
It's just ugly. What?
Yeah.
Life is too short for all of this ugliness. But the ugliness is all just BS. I want to know, Alvin Kamara, how far into this are you? Do you support?
Of course he supports Black Lives Matter. Of course he does.
And does he support the killing of police officers?
I don't know about that.
Well, that's the whole point. If you're going to wear this gear, how far into it are you?
The reason I brought this up, Rooster, my whole point is he just alienated himself from a huge chunk of New Orleans Saints fans. And I know there are some people, yeah, well, he gained a few fans. Well, Alvin Kamara in with one photo, in one night, went from being so beloved, without a doubt, the second most popular New Orleans Saint behind Drew Brees. Now, not anymore. That's my point.
Well, and if he would answer the question that I put out there, it might even be a lot more.
I mean, he didn't have to do this because we know how he feels about Colin Kaepernick. We know how 95% of black people feel about Colin Kaepernick. We know that. We know that. White political lefties and most black people think Colin Kaepernick is getting the screws. They think he should be playing in the NFL somewhere. We know how you feel.
But to take that picture in the locker room on Drew Brees' night, on the night that, that Drew Brees broke the record for the most passing yards in NFL history.
But that's going to be, in the long run, that's going to be forgotten. I mean, why are we not seeing this until Wednesday?
Well, I saw it yesterday. I didn't say anything about it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't know exactly. I mean, you know, I, like most Saints fans, love the way Alvin Kamara plays football. The guy's a great running back. Matter of fact, he's on my fantasy team. I love the way he plays football. I just don't understand why he would do that.
But to me, the whole key is the deeper question. If he wants to support Kaepernick, and I'm putting that in air quotes.
Of course he does.
That's fine. That's fine because it really doesn't matter. Do you support the retribution killing of police officers as supported by Black Lives Matter?
I'm sure he wouldn't look at it that way.
Well, then he needs then that's a problem. So, Alvin Kamara, why are you wearing the Kaepernick jersey?
And what's with the hat? Make Africa home again. I don't get it, because he's having some success in the United States. You know, he's got money here that he would never have there. I think he's alienated himself from a huge chunk of Who Dat Nation. He's pissed off a huge chunk of Who Dat Nation. That's all.
Well, but like I said, if he runs it in four times in the next game, how much of that's for all forgotten?
No, and whether it's musicians or actors, and I know many of them have different political views than I do, but that's not going to stop me from listening to their music or watching their movies.
Right.
But I'm just speaking in general for the majority of Who Dat Nation. I think I am.
But you have to know why he's wearing it. You have to know why he's wearing the jersey.
Why? Because he thinks Colin Kaepernick should be playing in the
NFL? Does he support the killing of police officers?
Probably not. I don't think he looks at it. I don't think he sees it the way you do, that way. I don't think he thinks...
There's only one. That's the only issue in the whole Kaepernick falterol.
Well, no, because there are lots of people that think Kaepernick should be an NFL quarterback, but they don't believe in killing of police officers. There's a lot of Kaepernick fans that think he should be playing in the NFL, but they don't believe in killing police officers.
Well, we're all ignorant about something, then, aren't we?
Well, all right.
You gotta know, if you're going to be a walking billboard, you got to know what you're selling.
Just an interesting...
That's my point.
Interesting outfit Alvin Kamara decided to wear after Drew Brees broke the record for the most passing yards in NFL history the other night. That's that. All right. Coming up on the show, two people got arrested the other night for robbing a Dollar General store right after it closed in the Desire area of New Orleans. And I'm going to give you a couple of details on that, why that bothers me so much. We got fun stuff today, too, so hang out with us.
What are you talking about? This is fun.
Yeah, well, it's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. You know, this bothers me. Man and juvenile arrested minutes after they robbed the Dollar General store here in the Desire neighborhood of the city of New Orleans. A 19-year-old man and a juvenile girl were arrested Sunday night, minutes after they robbed that Desire area Dollar General store of nearly $2,000. They went in, and it's the Dollar General on Old Gentilly Boulevard. And that Dollar General closes around 9 o'clock. So as soon as they were closing, that's when the 19-year-old Kevin Carr, along with a juvenile, ended up going in. They confronted the manager as she was exiting her office.
Carr took a cash drawer containing about $150 out of the manager's hands, while the juvenile pointed a gun at the manager. Carr then took a deposit bag containing $1,716 from the safe. Quote, "Don't let her move," Carr told the juvenile, who continued to hold the manager at gunpoint. The manager told Carr, quote, "Hurry up." And I'm going to say why I mentioned that, because that was in the story. The duo then fled the store, but they were located by police less than 20 minutes later. And they were caught. Here's, again, you know, we talk about crime on the show. I say it a lot. I can understand some crime. And this right here, socioeconomic, you know, these 19-year-old guys with a young girl. He's broke. He doesn't have any money. Let's go rob the dollar store. Now, when you think of how dumb do you got to be to rob the dollar store, I mean, you're going to throw a bunch of your life away for, what, $1,700? But here's what bothers me the most. The manager in the store, she works all day. And they have about $1,700 that she put in the bag all day for that money. On Sunday.
Well, assuming they didn't make other deposits. I mean, we don't know, but I completely understand your
point. I mean,
point.
Here she is. I mean, you know, this was Sunday.
Right.
She could have been watching football. She could have been out with her friends. She could have been, you know, doing whatever. She's working all day, and as she's locking up, this fool comes in. And they take all the money that she's got. And you know, it's interesting how in the police report, it said the manager of the Dollar General said, "Hurry up," because she's been there all day. She wants to go. I'm ready to get out of here. I was leaving as it is.
Right.
But now I'm still leaving. I still got something to do. But you're not going to let me make my deposit like I'm supposed to make of the $716 here. You know, I notice that when you see a store get robbed, here's somebody that's doing the right thing, that's going to work all day, and then here's somebody that's not doing the right thing. Hey, right when this person is locking up, let me go rob them of everything they made that day.
Right.
While they were working on a Sunday. But now armed robbery. This guy's gone for several years. All for $1,700. Well, he got the $150 too, and it was the dollar store. It doesn't say in the police report if they were all singles.
I'm always fascinated about why they release so much information, because that's really sort of a waving a flag as to how much money might be at a Dollar General at closing on, you know what I'm saying?
On Sunday?
Yeah. I learned that working in hotels. You're really not supposed to give, you know, how much was taken. Well, we don't know how much was in the drawer right then.
I mean, how much you think is going to be at a dollar store at closing time? And especially this day and age, whether it's a dollar store or any other store, Brewster, I don't know the exact percentage of how many purchases are made with debit cards or credit cards, and so there's going to be no cash for any robbers in there, but anyways... What's that? Coming up on the show, there's a school teacher that's in trouble in Gretna, and we'll tell you why.
Here, I bet you can guess why.
Yeah, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history, and on this show we call the segment...
Stand by, I'm not ready yet.
Would we change the name of it?
Now I'm ready.
Why today doesn't suck.
Please, technical difficulties, please stand by.
That's what we call it, if I remember right. October 10th. It was today in 1987.
Why today doesn't suck.
The band Whitesnake had a music video that featured jaguars and a woman named Tawny Catane. Because Whitesnake topped the Billboard Pop Singles chart today in 1987. And that video was all over the place. The song, Here I Go Again. And what people remember most about that is the video with Tawny Catane. People really didn't know who she was before that. And she was rolling around on a couple of Jaguars.
Right. Was it before or after that that she was rolling around on OJ? You know? I mean, that's a serious question. Was it before or after that video that she was dating OJ? Do you remember?
I don't know. I would guess.
You are aware that Tawny Catane dated OJ.
I would guess after.
After?
Because not a lot of people knew who she was before.
She was. She did an episode of Seinfeld where she was the actress and she had to run lines with Jerry. And the problem was, kind of like real life, she's a terrible actress. She's not as bad as the character she played on that show.
Hmm.
Don't you recall that, where they were running lines together and she had this real terrible southern accent?
I don't know if was that her? Not Seinfeld?
I just said that.
Huh.
Also today, ironically, in music doings, on this date, October 10th in 1987.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Why the band Europe peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with the power ballad, Carrie, which became their biggest hit in the U.S. But as yet, see, you can't do that. I fell into that trap. Pet peeve time. There is no time called yet, so you can't say as of yet. You can say as yet, and you can say as of now, but the next person that says as of yet needs to unfriend me anyway. So as yet, Carrie has not been used in a Geico commercial, as was the Final Countdown.
Well, I guess you could call the band Europe then a two-hit wonder.
Yes.
Because people, I think, when they first hear the band Europe, if they're rock and roll fans, the first thing they think of would be that the Casio keyboard with the with the Final Countdown.
Did you know I had a Casio keyboard a little bit before that?
But. And then they also had that song that you just mentioned, Carrie, which ended up being a bigger hit in this country than the Final Countdown. Go figure.
So if you went to see Europe now, how much crap would you have to sit through before you got to what we would assume are the encores, Carrie and the Final Countdown?
They would have to do the Final Countdown last. They have to.
Well, I know, but that's a given. But what songs of theirs do you sit through? Go ahead and name two or three or four or five of them.
I couldn't.
Before they get to those two. That's my point.
I couldn't.
Also on this date, October 10th in 1987.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Why don't we just do Today in History, but it's all this date 1987. Should we do that?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
This just leaves me scratching my head and my beard. ZZ Top announced that they made an advance booking for the first passenger flight to the moon. And they did. Yes, that's right. They did. They did that hand gesture on their way.
How about that?
Did they ever get there? I don't know.
I didn't know ZZ Top was into space and astronauts and things like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Who knew? Hey, got a celebrity birthday.
Love the celebrity birthdays.
Happy birthday to former Van Halen lead singer David Lee Roth. He's getting old.
He was born on this date in 1955.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Yeah, I don't want to say he's getting old, but he's got a new song coming out called Hot for Help Home Healthcare Nurse.
Okay.
Old Diamond David Lee Roth.
All right, that'll work.
Hey, and today is National Pet Obesity Awareness Day.
You know, I forgot to check my national days.
Did you realize, according to a new study, 21% of our dogs are obese? Just sadly, many of them are too fat to lick themselves. That's something. October 10th. It was today in 1973.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Vice President of the United States resigned. Less than a year before Richard Nixon's resignation as President of the United States, Spiro Agnew becomes the first United States Vice President to resign in disgrace. The same day, he pleaded no contest to a charge of federal income tax evasion in exchange for dropping a whole slew of other charges against him. You don't see that very often. The vice president has to step aside because most people have no idea what the vice president does every day.
In between funerals, I don't know what he does.
Yeah, what does the vice president do?
The vice president lives at Camp David, is that correct?
No, he doesn't live there.
Oh.
The vice president lives...
The vice president lives at the Naval Observatory?
I think so. There's a house out there. It's not far from the White House.
Okay. Today is also, we should mention this, October 10th is National Emergency Nurses Day. If you've ever had reason to go to the emergency room, just imagine what those people see, the doctors and nurses. We celebrated the nurses today. But the things they have to put up with, the things that they see.
Yeah, nurses do God's work.
Yes, they do.
Not just emergency room nurses, but how about hospice nurses and things like that. And you know, they don't get
today
paid.
Is not their day, but
no, but yes. I'm just saying nurses in general, sure. You know, they don't do it for the money. And boy, they really do God's work.
And today is National Bring Your Teddy Bear to Work or School Day.
Oh, really? Hey, today there was a...
did I frighten you with that one?
No, there was a pretty famous funeral today. It was a long time ago.
All right.
But today there was a very famous funeral.
In 18, what is it?
At West Point. General George Custer's funeral was today in 1877.
Why today doesn't suck.
The United States Army holds a West Point funeral with full military honors for Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer, killed the previous year in Montana by Sioux and Cheyenne Indians.
That's right.
At the Battle of Little Bighorn, you know, Custer's last stand.
That's right. And of course, anytime that we talk about George Armstrong Custer, I must put in a plug for the great movie from 1970 starring Dustin Hoffman, Little Big Man.
You've told me about that. I'm gonna watch that soon.
And the great Richard Mulligan. Just steals all of his scenes as General George Armstrong Custer. I cannot speak highly enough about that movie. Love it.
October 10th, today in 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
Oh, this was sad. One of the guys who played Superman, Christopher Reeve, died at the age of much too young, 52, although... He had been paralyzed.
Right.
He fell off a horse.
Horse riding.
Yeah, and it was accident. Just so bizarre seeing Superman not being able to move if you had watched that movie.
Right. They claim that there is the Superman curse. It's Christopher Reeves.
Reeve and George Reeves.
Who apparently thought he could fly. And is he the one that jumped out the window?
No,
he shot himself.
In his own home. But some people say, that was a good movie, by the way. Ben Affleck played him.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. Because there's a lot of people that say he didn't kill himself when he went to bed that night. Someone followed him up to his bedroom because his wife was having a party at their home out there in Los Angeles, and someone shot him.
Are you saying that it was perhaps murder?
That's what some people say.
Sam, I tell you, it was murder. It was on this date, October 10th, in 1995.
Why today doesn't suck.
Peter Frampton released the long-awaited follow-up to his record-setting live album released 19 years earlier. Ironically, the title, Frampton Comes Alive 2, it sold exactly 2 copies.
You know what's incredible about that album? Frampton Comes Alive, the original one, not the one you just talked about.
Right. Well, no one's heard the second one, so...
People, musicians, record companies, they spend piles of money to go into a studio to record an album.
Right.
To make it sound perfect. To record a live album doesn't cost that much money. And that live album ended up selling more copies than he ever sold in studio albums.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like that with the band Kiss when we had Gene Simmons on the show. Their first few studio albums didn't sell very well. And then somebody at the record company said, let's do a live album, even though it doesn't cost that much.
Right.
We think people would be able to get Kiss's live feeling, live appearance more in a live album. And the live albums for Kiss, that didn't cost very much to record. Sold a lot more than their studio albums, much like Peter Frampton.
And if you listen,
this is Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Yeah, knock it off. If you listen to, if you hear any of the studio versions of the great hits on Frampton Comes Alive, they lay there. They're just dead. It's like you're missing the crowd noise and just the electric energy of those songs. I've got one more.
Would you like some fries with that?
Oh, no, thank you. I've got one more. Do I? Yes. It was on this date, October 10th, 1978.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
At an Aerosmith concert in Philadelphia, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry are injured after a cherry bomb was thrown on stage during the concert. For the rest of the tour, Aerosmith performed behind a safety fence. Don't throw cherry bombs at the band.
And finally,
kids.
Today, all the way back in 1881,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Charles Darwin published his work on mold and worms. He published something called The Formation of Vegetable Mold Through the Action of Worms. He considered that work a more important accomplishment than his Origin of Species.
And it killed him. I don't know.
No, there you go.
And it's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
So if you're into mold and worms, the most important book that ever came out about that came out a long time ago.
Today's your day.
Yeah. Coming up on the show, a teacher in Gretna is in trouble, and we'll tell you why here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, on the show, we've talked about so many of the stories over the last few years of really attractive female teachers getting in trouble for doing sex with their male students. I'm talking about in high school. And I've always said, yes, there's a double standard. I know some people don't like double standards, but I've always said there's a double standard. If it's a male teacher getting in trouble for doing sex with an underage female student in high school, he should be beaten and he should be jailed and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But when it comes to a really good-looking female teacher with an underage male student, I remember being 15 years old.
Well, do you support pedophilia or not?
No.
I mean, you're trying to.
No. And I don't think that's pedophilia. I don't think if you're a 16-year-old boy and there's a 27-year-old really good-looking female teacher and she's hanging out with you, to me, that's not pedophilia.
Just trying to see where you stand.
Yeah, that's not pedophilia. Well, in Gretna, a teacher just got arrested, and it was the old type that we were used to seeing. It was the male teacher with the female student. Gretna public school teacher, and he, not only is he a teacher, he's also the baseball coach. His name's Kim Miner, a guy named Kim. He teaches social studies, and he's the baseball coach at Thomas Jefferson High School in Gretna. He's arrested and accused of prohibited sexual contact between an educator and a student. He was charged with a misdemeanor, though. I don't know. Because you're thinking anytime a teacher does something like that with a student, a male teacher does something like that with an underage female student, that shouldn't be a misdemeanor. It should be a felony. But they only charged him with a misdemeanor, so I don't know exactly what he did. He's been placed on paid administrative leave while the Gretna police investigate that situation. So, again, I don't know why it's just a misdemeanor. And, yes, it is a double standard. I'm sorry, because I remember being a 15- and 16-year-old boy. I remember that. Anyways, coming up on the show, someone locally who worked for a company for a long time just got in trouble because they've been robbing that company. We'll tell you all about it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So if you pay attention to the news, perhaps you've seen emotional support animals being accepted in places, whether it's restaurants, whether it's airplanes, and we've talked about a few whether it's an emotional support dog or whatever the case may be. Well, last night, on a Frontier Airlines flight from Orlando, Florida to Cleveland, Ohio, this woman ended up getting thrown off of a plane, even though when she booked her flight, she said she would be boarding with an emotional support animal. But when she showed up and got on the flight, they saw her emotional support animal and they kicked her off the plane.
Can I guess? I haven't seen the story, so can I guess?
Yeah.
Does it have legs?
Yes.
Does it have more than four legs?
No.
Does it have exactly four legs?
Yes.
Is it an amphibian?
Help me out with that.
Is it cold-blooded? Like a lizard or a...
No.
Does it have fur?
Yes.
It's...
an emotional support...
Skink.
Close.
Ferret.
Close.
Nutria.
Squirrel.
It's an emotional squirrel.
The woman gets on the plane with her emotional support squirrel. She sits down, and then one of the flight attendants says...
Came up to her and said, that's nuts.
Yeah, you can't have that thing on here. And the woman said, well, when I bought the ticket, I said I'm going to be coming with an emotional support animal. And then the flight attendant said, yeah, you said animal, but you didn't say rodent.
I really thought I had it with skink. I thought it was a skink.
But you cannot have emotional support squirrels or any emotional support rodent. You can't be bringing a rodent onto an airplane. And so they removed her from the flight. And some people, I've noticed on social media, some people said, well, wait a minute, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is helping her with her emotional support. No, you can't be bringing rodents on airplanes. We did a story like this a few months ago. Wasn't it a rooster, a giant emotional support rooster?
It was a chicken of some sort.
Some sort. And they kicked that woman off the plane, and she ended up renting a car and driving across country with her emotional support squirrel.
See, here's the thing I find fascinating about that. You alluded to the fact that the other passengers on this flight are starting to take sides, and some of them are like, oh, no, let her have the squirrel. It's like, it's the mob mentality. It's on this flight, it's like we're going to take pitchforks and torches and storm the Bastille looking for Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, and then once...
I find that ridiculously sociologically fascinating. Oh, come on! Boo!
And then,
let her have the squirrel!
Once this story makes news and it goes out all over the country, then people on social media can get their hands on the story. The passenger was told of the airline policy that no rodents... were allowed on the plane, but she refused to leave the plane when she was asked. She said, this is my emotional support animal. And then they had to call the Orlando Police Department. And then everybody was forced to deplane. I mean, this plane was ready to take off. And now this woman, I'll say it, she's nuts. Because of this crazy lady.
Right.
Everybody has to get off the airplane when this airplane was ready to take off, and that takes time. And then finally, when everybody deplaned, the woman was escorted off the plane with her emotional support squirrel by the Orlando Police Department, and then the rest of the passengers were able to get on the plane. And I mean, I don't know why you're flying from Orlando to Cleveland. Do you really want to get there in a hurry? But they did anyways, and so now. You know, some airlines have cracked down on what animals actually qualify as emotional support pets.
Because there's so many levels of abuse to people who want to bring a cat or a dog, and it's like, oh, no, this is my emotional support animal. It started because of the abuse of it.
Well, now we have learned on this show, we have learned emotional support roosters and emotional support squirrels, no go.
Can I ask a rather fungent question? When the lady made the reservation and she was told she could bring an emotional support animal, Did no one think to ask her what it was? When asked, did she say, well, it's my emotional support? Oh, okay, that'll be fine.
No, it just said when she booked her ticket, she said she's coming with an emotional support animal. No one asked.
No.
And then she shows up with the squirrel, and
it might have been
her.
A skink. What is a skink, by the way? I think a skink is a lizard.
So airlines are cracking down on emotional support pets.
You know, I get that. I mean, I have acquaintances who have difficulties, and it's not to, I don't understand it. I don't understand people who eat liver. It's not my walk on this earth. But I get that there are some people for whom flying is difficult and perhaps having their pet with them. But I don't get squirrel. I don't get rooster.
Delta Airlines released a statement saying customers have attempted to fly with comfort turkeys, gliding possums, known as sugar gliders, snakes, spiders, and more. But look, what's a comfort animal to some people is freaking out other people.
Right.
I mean, you're paying for an airline ticket. Is it you want to sit next to a possum?
No. And again, the passengers are taking sides. I think that's just the best.
And so is social media. Yeah, emotional support squirrels have gotten some, but not the same level of acceptance as emotional support dogs and cats. So there you go. All right, coming up on the show.
I may lose my mind.
I got to tell you about this local woman here in New Orleans who worked for this company for a long time, and boy, oh boy, did she bilk them. Wait till you hear some of these stories. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So tomorrow there's going to be an interesting lunch at the White House. Besides Donald Trump eating lunch, Kanye West, the hip-hop dude, is going to be eating lunch with Donald Trump. And I think this is the second time. First, Kanye West tomorrow morning is scheduled to meet with his son-in-law, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's an advisor. And then he's going to have lunch with Donald Trump. Don't know what's on the menu, but this is kind of freaking some people, some celebrities out. They don't like the fact that Kanye West, it was just a couple of weeks ago on the TV show Saturday Night Live, where he wore a Make America Great Again hat. And then
a long rant at the end of the show.
Yeah, he was telling people, I don't know why, what you got against Donald Trump, and he started giving some statistics, and what he was saying was true, but trying to tell people who really don't like Donald Trump why you should like him, it's not going to work.
What I have here says that he's bringing Jim Brown with him. I would imagine that's the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown.
At the lunch tomorrow?
Yeah, that'll be something.
Wow, that lunch even got more interesting. So I wonder what they'll serve for that. It's a lunch I wouldn't mind sitting at. All right, coming up next, we got to tell you why this local woman just got fired. She's been bilking her company for years. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. I just put a video on our Facebook page of a Hammond, Louisiana police officer getting down, dancing. We've seen New Orleans cops dance before. Some Hammond cops. This guy didn't want to be outdone, and some people are enjoying that. Go check that out on our Facebook. Be a part of Bayou 95.7 on Facebook.
We haven't mentioned it yet this morning, but this Hurricane Michael, this is not looking good for the Florida Panhandle. 145 miles per hour. Hurricane Category 4, about 80 miles from, they took it down. 80 miles from Panama?
Yeah, it upgraded since yesterday. Right. And now the weather experts are saying this is the worst hurricane to hit in 100 years.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's going to hit later this afternoon over there. And
you got to hope that it speeds up. What if the millibars, the pressure rises, speeds up and rises. And, thoughts with folks She got family and friends in that area.
Yeah. Pretty damaging upgrade to Hurricane Michael. So I saw this story about this local person who just got arrested, a lot of trouble, for stealing from the company where she works locally to the tune of about $500,000. That's what they're saying she stole. Old Jefferson employee charged in $500,000 company credit card scheme. This woman has her name. She's 35 years old. Her name is Nicole Suratine. She's from Destrehan. And she was just arrested and charged with fraud. Prosecutors are accusing her of using an unauthorized fuel card to make personal purchases, but it goes a lot farther than that. Suratine worked as a secretary and dispatcher for a company in Old Jefferson that provided a variety of services, including crane and forklift rental, trucking, heavy machinery rigging and hauling, and warehousing. She had been working at the company for the last 8 years, since 2010. And one of her jobs included handing out gas cards, fuel cards, to the company's truck drivers. Her other job descriptions were deducting cash advances from paychecks, printing out weekly credit card reports. And authorities are telling us that she used her position to obtain a gas card for herself going back 4 years, even though she wasn't a truck driver for the company. But she was in charge of the cards, so she probably thought to herself, hey, let me use one of these cards. And so for a span of over 2 years, that card was used to pay for her personal expenses, not just gasoline, but cash advances, food. She's being accused of defrauding the company of more than $500,000. So when she went to those gas stations, she wasn't just filling up. She was going inside, probably getting a bunch of those hot dogs, maybe some of the chili with the cheese, the nachos with the chili and the cheese that comes in the little containers there.
Dude, you're describing me and my Amoco card 25 years ago when I was single.
Hmm.
You know, you get it just to pay for gas, and then you're going to plan to pay it off when the bill comes in. And then that turns into, oh, yeah, I need a couple groceries. I need a pack of smokes. Never took cash advance on a gas card, though. Whew. That's got to be stiff.
Yeah, at least that was your card, though.
Well, true.
You know, this woman...
And I know the feeling.
This has been going on for a few years, and they finally caught her. And now if she's convicted, she's looking at up to 20 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Well... That's only about half of what she's accused of stealing, embezzling from the company that she worked for. You know, it's just incredible to me what would make someone think that they could get away with something like that. I mean, she obviously got the job and they trusted her because they put her in the office where a lot of the money was. And I told you what her job description was. Not just providing these gas cards for the truck drivers for this company, but she dealt with people's cash advances for people's paychecks that work there, deducting cash advances, printing out weekly credit card reports, and I guess when she was doing that after a short time on the job, she's thinking to herself, well, hey, maybe I'll try. And it worked for a while. It worked until, well, people are going to start noticing when you get into the $500,000 age of fraud.
Sure. One for them, one for me. Two for them, one for me. Three for them, two for me. One for them, one for me.
Mm. You know, and
allegedly.
And again, Brewster, this makes you wonder, I mean, was this woman always like this? Just like when we talk about the politicians who get in trouble for wrongdoing, were they always like that? And now they just finally had the opportunity to, right. to cash in? Or was it an honest politician that once they got there and they saw everything that was around them, they changed?
Right.
And at
what point did they go bad?
Yeah, where did
just fascinated by that.
Yeah, how did this happen? Where a woman who was getting a good job with in a very trusted position, how she couldn't handle it, and now she's going to be going away for a long time.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's something. All right, coming up on the show. We're going to talk more about Alvin Kamara because he has angered a bunch of New Orleans Saints fans for what he wore after the Saints won on Monday night. Not only after a Saints win, but after Drew Brees' big night where he broke the NFL record for the most passing yards ever. A picture of Alvin Kamara in his outfit has gone viral, and a bunch of people in New Orleans here, he's alienated a bunch of fans. Some people are saying, yeah, go, Alvin. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So something on Twitter has just made a lot of news. This woman who calls herself Blue Star Navy Mom 3, that was her handle on Twitter, she put a picture of her son, who's in the Navy, and he's in his uniform and he's posing, and then next, and then right above the picture, she got a little political, and that's how this got blown up. She wrote on this Twitter tweet, "This is my son. He graduated number one in boot camp. He was awarded the USO award. He was the number one in a school. He is a gentleman who respects women. He won't go on solo dates due to the current climate of false sexual accusations by radical feminists with an axe to grind. I vote hashtag him too." Well, when her son saw that, her son wasn't too happy because he didn't want to get in the middle of any political beef on Twitter. Again, this guy was in the United States Navy.
Is he still? Is he still serving, or is he? He's out. Do we know?
Well,
just curious.
Well, he's back in the States now.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna has any future deployments or not. I don't know, but he's back in the States now. So, you know, when Twitter saw that, they made fun of the woman. And they were putting pictures of animals up there saying, "This is my son, he's a gentleman too," and blah, 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 blah. And this is how fast stuff like this can happen. So the son, first the son's brother, this woman's other son, tweeted, his name's John Hansen. He tweeted, "My brother is trending on Twitter because my mom's ridiculous tweet. I'm a mixture of laughing hard and feeling bad for him. Hashtag him too." So then finally, the Navy man, his name is Peter Hansen. He tweeted, he said, "That was my mom. Sometimes the people we love do things that hurt us without realizing it. Let's turn this around. I respect and hashtag believe women. I never have and never will support hashtag him too. I'm a proud Navy vet, cat dad, and ally. Also, Twitter, your meme game is on point." This ended up getting thousands and thousands of responses because his mother is claiming that her son, the Navy guy, can't even go on a date with a woman now because of the false accusations that could be made. And the hashtag him too has been put up there to kind of counter hashtag me too. And so this Navy guy's mother tweeted, and she since has deleted the tweet. But the Navy guy was saying that she had good intentions, but I don't agree with her, and I never expected this to go viral. isn't it something? And next thing you know, 20,000 people are involved in this tweet. And this guy had nothing to do with it. It was just his mother putting his picture there in his Navy uniform. And the other son, the guy's brother, says, my mom is just trying to find my brother a woman. So at least trying to help in that regard.
Yeah, and now she's got thousands and thousands and thousands of people on this thread also trying to help.
Yeah, and the memes and the pictures and everything. It's incredible how fast something can just explode and go nuts like that. Hopefully everything's fine in that family, and this guy could find what he's looking for.
I'm always amused that they throw into these stories the tweet, since deleted, ... Well, nothing's ever deleted. Sure, she thinks it's gone from the top of her Twitter feed, but nothing is ever gone forever. Nothing is ever gone forever.
Not that you put on the internet.
Right.
Not that you put out there. And so, again, this is, this is, I guess, 15 minutes of fame in the Twitterverse or social media. But it just goes to show you how something, just one person could just say something, and the next thing you know, thousands of people are involved, and your family's, and the next thing you know, something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Twitter, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas really got into it with the guy who was trying to guard him the other night, cover him, cornerback Josh Norman. It got a little bit ugly. Stay tuned for that and more coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I've wondered, with Hurricane Michael approaching later this afternoon, and it's been upgraded, it's going to hit the Florida Panhandle and maybe a little part of Alabama as well. You know, I saw the news. Some of the networks sent their main news guys down there to do their newscast from there. And I know when the last one happened as well, whether it was CNN or Fox News, it was hour after hour after hour after hour continued coverage. And it's you know, it's cool that they're paying attention to it, but I just wonder, what about the other 90% of the country that was watching the news that storm doesn't affect? You know, that storm probably affects maybe 10%, like this hurricane affects 10% of the country, but they're going to, whether it's CNN or Fox News, that they're going to be reporting, and they're going to have guys standing in the storm blowing all over the place. I just wonder if that's a tune out for the 90% of the rest of the country that this storm doesn't really affect.
Well, it's a chance you have to take.
Yeah, I just wonder that. Anyways, that's going to be happening later this afternoon. It comes ashore. What do you got over there?
All right, so in Philadelphia, there is a former NFL, I guess you'd call him like a journeyman player. He did play for the Eagles at one time. Apparently, he's now on one of those morning shows, the local version of Fox and Friends. So it's Fox and Friends, Hello Philadelphia, or something. His name is Gary Cobb. And he has an interesting take on what the Philadelphia Eagles players might do, or in this case, not do, to help improve their kind of lackluster season.
I would go to drastic measures. I think they need to go on a fast.
But what kind of fast?
Not food fast.
What?
The boys need to be cut off.
From
the
sex? Goodies.
The women?
<'Cause>
no
you
more sex.
You think that would make a difference? You think that's the issue?
Just seem
they're
to be,
getting too much?
Well, hey, it fogs up your mind. You know what I mean?
Isn't that already a rule? You're not supposed to do it like before
a
game or something?
Hey,
hold on. 1955 call. They want the segment back.
Oh, my goodness.
So I didn't quite. What was he getting at?
That they abstain from having sex.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because as he says, it fogs up your mind.
Because the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl last year. They've gotten off to a slow start this
right.
year.
So that's his suggestion about how they may get back on track and turn the season around, is giving up the dames, which reminded me of this great movie.
You've been looking good, Rock.
Thanks.
Let's go. That's it. Underneath it.
Rock.
What?
How about you give us your order?
Get out of here! Don't you ever interrupt me while I'm conducting business.
Move your little chicken out. Listen, kid, you lay off that pet shop game. Women weaken legs.
Yeah, but I really like this girl, you know?
But let her train you!
Okay, no more fooling around.
Who was it that was it Wade Boggs that said the same thing that sex before a game or too close to game time weaken the legs and then proceeded to hit everything moving? Wade Boggs, former third baseman of the Red Sox
and Yankees and Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Yeah.
I think that was him that said that. I don't know. What do you think?
Jeez, I could understand the boxing. I understood why Rocky's trainer,
like a stamina thing,
was upset. Yeah, I don't know though for football. I mean, you know, when you're playing a game on Sunday, you're telling me if you do sex on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, that's going to affect how you play on Sunday.
Well, I think he's talking maybe in terms more of like Friday night or Saturday night before a Sunday game, like closer to game time, not so much during the week. You would think they could do whatever they want on Tuesday. Tuesday's like the traditional free day.
Well, did you know? And it's like this not just here in New Orleans with the Saints, but with pretty much every professional NFL team. Even when they're home, the night before the game, they all go and stay in a hotel because the coach wants them all focused. And so I don't think they're doing sex even the nights before home games. So I think this guy in Philadelphia, I don't think he has anything to be concerned of, because like I said, even if teams have a home game, they're sequestered in a hotel, and their wives or girlfriends they're not allowed to be there on the night before the game. I wonder if that works in radio.
Yes, I can confirm it does work.
So yes. Like we wouldn't be you know, as good as we want to be if we were doing a lot of sex before the show.
Would you spit it out? What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, if we were doing a bunch of sex before the show or the night before the show, we wouldn't be as good as we wanted to be that day, the next day during the show.
Whose argument are you making, yours or mine?
No, I'm asking a question.
I'm asking the questions around here.
Well, that was interesting. But the Eagles are definitely having a Super Bowl hangover. And they're not doing very well.
Gary Cobb says they need to lay off the dames.
Do you see the Saints' schedule coming up after their bye week this week? They got five games in a row that a lot of people are saying that they
Ravens.
Yeah, they got
in Baltimore.
Yeah, they you look at their schedule coming up. Some people are saying, but we're going to find out what the Saints. I mean, the Rams are included in there, and many are saying the Los Angeles Rams, are the best team in the NFL. People are saying once the bye week comes and goes this week for the Saints, that real quick we're going to find out what the New Orleans Saints are made of. Look, I think it's like pretty much every year in the Sean Payton era, except for when they did really have a good defense under Greg Williams and then Bounty Gate happened. I think the offense is fine, but I think the reason why the Saints won't win this year is because of their defense, and that's always been an issue with the Sean Payton era New Orleans Saints. All right, it's Bayou, 95.7.
Put all hope out of your mind and masturbate as little as possible. It drains the strength. Let's all take him away.
Bayou, 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, we've talked about this before on the show, rewarding failure. It's become an epidemic in our country.
Why do you look right at me when you say the words rewarding failure?
No, it's my lazy eye you're looking at.
Oh, oh.
We did a story a couple of weeks ago about a cheerleader in New Jersey who was cut from the cheerleading squad, and her mother demanded that she be on the cheerleading squad, or she's going to sue the school or whatever the case may be. And the school caved, and they put her daughter on the cheerleading squad. We did a story a couple of weeks ago about a soccer player from Missouri. Who he didn't make the varsity soccer team, and his mother is now suing the school district for ageism because she said he should at least be able to play on the junior varsity. But and they're going to let him play
what they're doing is they're rewarding failure. And I know there are people out there that think, well, you know, they're still kids and everybody should get a trophy. Everybody should get a participation ribbon. Everybody. Right. But no, that's not helping. You are hurting people in the end.
I don't know that it's so much rewarding failure, but it's setting your children up for what is really not the way life works. And that, well, it's not the way life used to work. And that is, everything is a level playing field. You need to go through the early portion of your life and your tender years realizing that, no, most things in business and commerce, it's not a level playing field. You got to work to get to where you want to be.
Those are very big lessons we learn in childhood. What does that tell all the other cheerleaders that worked their butts off to make that team in New Jersey? What does that tell all the other soccer players that worked really hard to make that soccer team? All of their work, all of those hours they put in, all of that effort. Really? And now you're just going to let people that don't that have been cut, but because their parents are complaining and bitching about it and they're going to threaten to sue the school, now you're going to let that's in my opinion, Brewster, that is rewarding failure.
Well,
and I think that's becoming an epidemic in our country.
And not only that, but it tends to reward mediocrity, too. Just that kind of, well, here's the bar, and I'm just going to kind of, well, here I am.
Exactly.
I'm going to do the absolute lowest minimum to get by. And I just,
that's
me. That is me in a nutshell.
It's almost like a socialism state of mind where kind of everybody gets the same and it doesn't matter how hard you work. And, you know, we've talked about socialism on this show. Hey, find me a country where it's ever worked. And I've brought it up because we have a lot of young people in our country, young people, college students just out of college, and they believe in socialism. I mean, there are a group now on the political left that one congresswoman from New York, she just won. She's a democratic socialist.
Right.
That's what she calls herself. And it's never worked anywhere, and I don't think it works at any level. It's just think, if about a socialist country, it takes the incentive out of people for working hard. Why would they try to work harder or be smarter if they're just going to get the same as people who don't? And I think that's the level we're looking at here. Coming up next, Alvin Kamara has pissed off some Saints fans, and it's our commercial free ride on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans, one of the best cowbell songs ever recorded. Right there. All right. No, I just put on our website.
Are you launching the missiles over there? What are you doing?
No, but I just put something really cool on our website, bayou957.com.
Hmm.
If you didn't see the Conor McGregor Khabib fight from last Saturday night, did you hear about that fight?
I did not. Heard about it, didn't see it.
Well, Khabib beat him, and then after the fight.
Spoiler alert.
Well, and then after the fight, there was a big melee, and the Las Vegas. The commission, the fight commission there in Las Vegas, they're holding his $2 million purse because, yeah, he jumped over the ropes and he went after people in the corner and a couple of people in the crowd got hit.
Hmm.
It was insane. Well, I just put that fight up on our website at bayou957.com. I don't know how long it's going to stay there.
Probably till we get a C&D.
Well, if you didn't see the Conor McGregor fight, the mixed martial arts, the MMA fight for last Saturday night, go to bayou957.com and check it out. All right, that's it for us. Ginty's next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.